B'siyata Dishmaya, we're going to learn Yuma Daf Chav Dalet. We're going to start 8 lines from the top of the Omud. Says the Gemara, and we're continuing to learn about the Trumas Hadeshen, separating a little bit of the ashes from the Mizbeach, removing it and placing it next to the Mizbeach on the Mizrach side, a detail we haven't learned much about yet. And then afterwards they would do the Yhoitzoas Hadeshen. They would take the remaining ashes from the top of the Mizbeach and take it outside the city. Says the Gemara, Boyer of Ovin, Trumas Hadeshen Bekamo. What was the minimum amount of ashes that had to be shoveled away, had to be taken away from the top of the Mizbeach for the mitzvah of Trumas Hadeshen? Says the Gemara, what are the two options? Mitrumas Maisi Alfinon Lo? Do we learn it, do we say that the separation from the Mizbeach is similar to the separation that the Levi takes from the Maisi Rishon that he received, that he takes a tenth and gives it to the Kohen, called Trumas Maisa, which would mean that Truma is defined by a tenth, Yalfinon Lo, and we learn it from there. Oymi Trumas Midyon, Yalfinon Lo. Or do we learn it out from a separation from Midyon, that we see regarding Midyon, that the Pasuk says that they separated a one of 500, 500th. The question is, did they have to separate a tenth of the ashes or a 500th of the ashes? Says the Gemara, the truth is neither. There's a third type of truma, and that's where we learn it from. Tor Shema Dutonya Rebchia, Ne'mar Kan, it says in the Pasuk regarding Truma Sadeshen, it uses the word Veherim. It uses the term Veherim. And there's another Pasuk that says regarding the Koimutz. The Koimutz is a fistful, it's actually less, it's three fingers of the fist full of the Mincha. It says Veherim Mimenu Bekumtzoi, with his Koimutz, Misoiles HaMincha Mishamno, etc. So we learn out from Koimutz. How much coals do you need? As much as the Kohen, presumably the Kohen who's doing the Trumas Hadeshen, that as much as would fit into his koimetz, into three fingers of his fist. Ma'al halon bekumtzoi, afkan bekumtzoi. And this is not an exact measure. We know by the koimetz of the Mincha, it was an exact measure. We're going to learn about that later on in Shas. It wasn't allowed to be more or less than the three fingers full. However, with the coals, the ashes, it certainly wasn't an exact measure, because the only way to measure it exactly would be to actually put your hand into the burning coals and ashes and remove some. And we're clearly not going to ask the Kohen to do that. You cannot put your hand into a pile of coals. So it must be that the minimum measure of ashes they had to take was that amount. But obviously, they could take as much as they wanted. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav. Arba avoidois, there are four avoidois, even though all avoidois must be done with a kohen who's not a balmum, whilst he's wearing the big day kohuna, after having done the kiddush yudayim v'raglaim from the kiyor, those are all requirements. However, there's only four avoidois where if somebody who's not a kohen does them, then he's actually going to be chayev misa. Arba avoidois zor chayev aleim misa. Misa b'day shamayim. And that is zrika, the throwing of the blood onto the Mizbeach, v'haktora, and putting onto the Mizbeach whatever needed to be put on the Mizbeach, v'nisuch ha-mayim, the pouring of the waters, v'nisuch ha-yayin, and the pouring of the wine. That with every korban there would be nisuch ha-yayin, and over Sukkos they would add, with the korban tomid, they would add nisuch ha-mayim. Those are the four avoides according to Rav. V'levi Omar, Levi added aftrumas hadeshen, the separation of the ashes from the top of the Mizbeach, that's also a type of avoida, that if it's done by somebody who's not a Kohen, he's going to be Chayev Misa. V'chein Toni Levi b'masnite, when Levi was arranging his brises, he also said, af Trumas Hadeshen, that together with the four that Rav mentioned, which is Zrika, Haktora, Nisuch HaMayim, Nisuch HaYayin, the Trumas Hadeshen was also included. My Talmud Rav, what would be the source for Rav to say that only these four avoides, a Zor who does them is Chayiv Misa, and not if he does the Trumas Hadeshen? Tichsiv, he learns out from a Pasuk. It says in the Pasuk as follows, Ve'ato, you uvonecho itcho, and your sons, that means the Kohen Gadol, the Kohanim, Tishmeru es kohunaschem, you should guard your kahuna l'chol devar hamizbeach, for anything to do with the mizbeach, ulam mibeis laporeiches, and for anything which is in the kodesh hakodoshim, which is called the beis haporeiches, va'avadetem, and you shall work, you should serve, avoidas matono eteines kunaschem, that your work, matono, would literally mean that you're being able, you're being given permission to serve is a gift to the Kohanim. We'll soon see the Gemara is going to have another translation of the word matono. But avoidas matono eteines kunaschem, v'azor hakoriv yumos, and that's where the pasuk says that if somebody's not a Kohen who goes and does any of these avoides which are mentioned to or alluded to in this pasuk, is going to be chayiv misa. So the Gemara explains, avoidas matono, what does it mean, avoidas matono? It actually means a service of application, of giving, from the term losses, to give. V'loy avoidas siluk, that when you apply something to the mizbeach, then that's when you're going to be chayiv if a zorah does it. But any type of avoida which is not applying, it's not giving something, rather it's removing something, there's no chiyuv misa. Since the Trumas Hadeshen is removing some of the ashes from the top of the Mizbeach, therefore it's not called avoidas matona, and therefore even if a zorah does it, he will not be chayiv misa. And what do we learn from the word va'avadetem? From the word v'avadetem, we learn avoida tamu. It's got to be a type of service which is a conclusion. It's an ending. It finishes off the avoida. V'loy avoida shesh achreo avoida. But a type of avoida which is actually a sequence of avoidas, where you do one after the next. We'll soon see some examples of that. But when it's something, when it's a type of avoida that's done with a sequence, only the end, the final avoida, is the one which is v'avadetem, and is the one that if a Zorah does it, he'll be chayiv misa. But all those avoides running up to the final avoida, if a Zorah does it, it's osa, but he will not be chayiv misa. So that's the source for Rav, where Rav learns from avoidas matono that Trumas Hadeshen, which is siluk, is not chayiv misa. The Levi, what's Levi? How does Levi also knows that it says in the pasuk avoidas matono? So how can Levi say that even Trumas Hadeshen is included in this pasuk? Rabbi Rachmona l'chol dvar hamizbeach. That he says that from the fact that it says in the pasuk that tishmur es kunaschem l'chol dvar hamizbeach, why does it have to say l'chol for all the dvar hamizbeach? It's coming to include something. What's it coming to include? Even the Trumas Hadeshen, which is a siluk from the mizbeach. V'rav, what's Rav going to do with the extra word kol? According to Levi, I need the kol for Trumas Hadeshen. According to Rav, who says Trumas Hadeshen is not included in this pasuk, what does he do with Rav? Says the Gemara, Hula asuye sheva hazoyis shebifnim v'sheba metzera. That there are certain avoides that are, they are as tamo, they are avoides at the end of the line, so to speak, and they are avoides matono, but they're not outside in the azora, they're actually inside the heichel. And examples of those are the seven hazois shebifnim, there are certain korbonis. Rashi mentions some of them, the par helam dovor, the par mashiach, the par and yom kippur, and the sprinkling of the metzorah from the shemen, where those are avoides that are done in the heichal, and since they're done in the heichal, towards the heichal, but they are bifnim, avoides of the heichal, and since they're avoides of the heichal, we need an extra pasuk to say that, because the pasuk just says Devar HaMizbeach. The Mizbeach was outside in the Azara. How do you know that even if you do those avoides, assuming they conform with avoida tamo, and they conform with avoidas matono, but they're done not in the Mizbeach or in the Azara, they're done in the Heichal, how do we know that if the Azara does them, is Chayiv Misa? That he learns from L'chol Devar HaMizbeach. Levi, who needs the V'chol to say that Trumas Hadeshen is Chayiv, which is a siluk, how does he know that those avoides in the Heichal are also included in this posuk and the Zohar who does them is Chayiv? Nafkalei mi dvar v'chol dvar. It doesn't only say dvar hamizbeach, it says v'chol dvar hamizbeach. And the truth is it could have said neither. It could have said tishmur es kunaschem lemizbeach. I don't know exactly what the pasuk could have said, but we don't need the dvar and the kol dvar. So Levi therefore learns two things from there. He learns from the dvar hashmi, from dvar he learns even the siluk, the Trumas Hadeshen, and from the V'chol Devar, the extra V'chol, he learns, like Rav does, that he learns from there, for the even in the Heichal, a Zor who does them is Chayev Misa. V'Rav, what's Rav going to do with the extra word, not only V'chol, but the V'chol Devar? Says the Gemara, Devar, V'chol Devar, Loi Dorish. Rav held it was not a type of Drosha, it was not a type of word that needed to be learnt from. Continues the Gemara, and the Gemara is now asking a question against Levi. We saw that Levi said that even the Trumas Hadeshen, which is a siluk, nonetheless, if a Zor does it, he's chayev. And where does he learn it from? He learns out from L'chol Devar HaMizbeach. Asks the Gemara, V'eim L'chol Devar HaMizbeach Klal. Maybe the Kol Devar HaMizbeach is a generalization that any avoida to do with the Mizbeach, and indeed that would include even the siluk. But what does it say afterwards? Avoidas matono. Avoidas matono is a prat, it's a specification, it's only a service of application, not a service of removal. And this would be a typical klal uprat. Klal uprat in bichlal el mashab uprat. The rule is that when you have a specification which is mentioned after a generalization, that we assume that what the Torah meant with the generalization is only things which are similar to the specification, which avoidas matona in, avoidas siluk loy, that only a type of avoida which is application, if a Zohar does it, will be chayev, and not an avoida which is removal. And if so, we have a question, what's your source, Levi, to say that Trumas Hadeshen, if a Zohar does it, he'll be chayev misa? Says the Gemara Omar Kro. You have to read the Pasuk and understand the Pasuk as follows. What does it say in the Pasuk? It says, L'chol Devar HaMizbeach. Ulami Beis LaParoiches. Before saying, V'avadetem Avoido, Avoidas Matono, what does it say? It says, Ulami Beis LaParoiches, V'avadetem. So what do we see from there? That Ulami Beis LaParoiches, that only in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, Hu De Avoidas Matono, V'loy Avoidas Siluk. You're right. That from the words avoidas matono, you only know, like we said before, you only know a service of application that the Zohar is chayiv misa and not siluk. But when is that true? Only mibeis laporeches avoidas that are done in the kodesh hakodoshim. However, and there we say avoidas matono v'lo avoidas siluk. But we deduce from the pasuk ha bechutz, but outside. In the Azara, where the Mizbeach is, afilu avoida siluk. So it's as if the Pasuk is telling us explicitly that this limitation of the Hazara Korev Yumos, which is only avoidas matona and not avoidas siluk, is only correct, or only that's only the halacha in the Kodesh Kadoshim, not outside. And therefore, Levi has a good source to say that for the work outside, by the Mizbeach, we don't have this limitation, and therefore, even Trumas Hadeshen, he'll be chayev. Asks the Gemara, Ihochi, if so, just in the same way as the word Avoidas Matono is after the words Olimi Beis LaParoiches, and we said just now that Avoidas Matono is only a limitation in the Beis LaParoiches, in the Kodesh Kadoshim, and not in the Azara. So maybe the word V'avadetem, which tells us that it's got to be an avoida tamo, an ending avoida, is also only in the Kodesh Kodashim, but outside, even an avoida which is not an avoida tamo, he'll also be chayev, if a Zohar does it. Yehocha V'avadetem nami el mibeis laparoiches, hu da avoida tamo, only in the Kodesh Kodashim it needs to be an avoida tamo, for example, putting the ktoires on Yom Kippur onto the fire, onto the coals. V'loy avoida sheyesh achreo avoida. And not a type of avoida which is a part of a string of avoidas. For example, bringing the spoon of the coals or the k'teres into the kodesh hakodoshim, sheyesh achrei avoida, which has after it an avoida, which is to pour the k'teres into his hands, into his fists, and then from his fists he's got to put it onto the coals. Those avoidas not ha bachutz, but outside in the azara afilu avoida sheyesh achrei avoida. Maybe one azara will be chayiv misa even if he does an avoida which is not avoida tamo. Says the Gemara, no, because the difference between avoidas matono and the avoida tamo is that avoidas matono is learned from the word avoidas matono. Where do we learn avoida tamo from? It's got to be the last avoida in the line from va'avadatem, the extra vav. So from the extra vav, hodar or ve'ikra, it links it back to what it said before. What does it say before? It says va'ato ovenecho itcha tishmeru es kunaschem l'chol dvar ha'mizbeach. And then it says ulami beis la'paroiches. Not only the dvar ha'mizbeach in the Azara, also what's going on in the Kodesh HaKodoshim. Va'avadatem. Va'avadatem is va means going back not only on the Kodesh Kodoshim, but also on the Dvar HaMizbeach. It has to be a avoida tamo, an ending, a completing avoida. And then avoidas matono, it doesn't say avov. Because to say that avoidas matono is only a restriction, that it's got to be avoidas matono, not avoidas siluk, that's going exclusively on the words, l'mibeis laporeches, which is only inside the Kodesh Kodoshim, and not outside in the Azara. And that is how Levi is going to learn this pasuk. Asks the Gemara, Boya Rava. Rava now has an interesting question, and it's a question with Levi. That what did Levi say? Levi said that even Avoida Siluk, like Trumas Hadeshen, in the Azara, is a Zor who does it, is Chayev. He learns it out from L'chol Dvar HaMizbeach. However, in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, we just said now, if you do it in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, there we say no. There we say avoidas matono, that in the base laparoiches, the avoidas matono only in a service of application the Zohar will be chayev, not siluk. So we have the Azara where Levi says avoidas siluk is chayev. We have the Kodesh HaKodoshim that avoidas siluk is not chayev. We have an area in between called the Heichal. What about those avoidas? The avoidas done in the Heichal, do we say they are similar to the Azara? And avoida siluk will be chayev if a zara does it, or do we say that the heichal is similar to the kodesh hakodoshim, to the beis laparoiches, and avoida siluk will not be chayev misa? That was Rava's question. Boy, Rava. And the truth is, before Rava asked his question, we could almost be forgiven to assume that a zara who does any avoida in the heichal is not going to be chayev misa. Read the pasuk. The pasuk speaks about the dvar hamizbeach, which is in the azara. And the Gemara speaks about the Beis Laporeches, and the Pasuk speaks about the Beis Laporeches, which is in Kodesh HaKodoshim. But maybe if he does any Avoida, even if it's Avoida Tamo, and even if it's an Avoidas Matono in the Heichal, who says he's Chayev? But Rav is clearly assuming not that way, and he's assuming that it's clear that in the Heichal, if a Zohar does those Avoidas, which are also Avoida Tamo, and also Avoidas Maton, of course he's going to be Chayev Misa. The question is, regarding Siluk, where there's a difference between the Kodesh Kodoshim, where he's not Chayiv Misa, and the Azara, where he is Chayiv Misa, where do we put the Heichal? That was Rava's question. Avoida Siluk, beHeichal Mahu. It's obviously only a question according to Levi. According to Rav, Avoida Siluk is never Chayiv, even by the Mizbeach. He says Truma Sadeshen is not going to be Chayiv Misa. So do we say that it's Lefonim Medaminon Lei, we compare the Heichal to the Kodesh HaKodoshim, to the Beis Laparoiches, and by Siluk, Avoida Siluk will be Potur? Do we compare it to the Azara, and we say Avoida Siluk will be Chayiv? Hodar Poshta, after Rava asked the question, Rava himself resolved it, Mi Beis, Ula Mi Beis. He could have just said, L'chol Dvar HaMizbeach, Mi Beis Laparoiches, from the Kodesh HaKodoshim. What's Ula Mi Beis Laparoiches? These extra letters are teaching us not only the Kodesh HaKodoshim proper, but even the Heichal, which is the area just before the, adjacent to the Kodesh HaKodoshim, there too it has the same halachas as the Kodesh HaKodoshim, that a Zor who does Navoida of Siluk will not be Chayev Misa. Elo Me'ato. But now that we understand that if you do an Avoidas Matono, which is also an Avoida Tamo, in the Heichal, you are Chayev Misa. If so, we have a question. Why did Rav, and Levi didn't argue with that, say that there's four things and only four Avoidas that a Zohar who does them is Chayev Misa? Levi adds on one more, which is Trumas Hadeshen. But if you say that the Avoidas in the Heichal, assuming that they are Avoidas Matono and Vavadetem and Avoida Tamo, that they're Chayev Misa, we've got some more. Zohar Shesideres HaShulchan. What happens if a zor, somebody who's not a kohen, places the breads onto the shulchan in the heichal? On Shabbos, they would bring new breads. They would remove the breads of the previous week. They would put new breads. If a zor does that, he should be chayev. Lichayev, he should be chayev. So why then does Rav not say that there's only four avoiders? There's another one. There's the sidur hashulchan. Says the Gemara, you know why? Because it's not Navoido Tamo. It's not the end of the line. There's something you do after arranging the breads. What is that? Ikasidur Bazichin. You have to place the spoons onto the Shulchan. The spoons with the Levoino. With those spices that are going to be put on the Mizbeach the following Shabbos. And since there's it's not Navoido Tamo, therefore he won't be Chayev. Therefore Rav didn't mention them. So the Gemara says, okay, Sidur Bazichin L'chayev. What happens if a Zor puts the spoons onto the shulchan, the spoons with the levoina, maybe he should be chayev. Says the Gemara, no, because that's also not the end. Ika siluk, there's the taking away the spoons, taking away the levoina, v'aktara, and putting the levoina onto the mizbeach. So therefore, the arranging and putting the spoons onto the shulchan is not the end of the line. You're going to ask me a question, what happens if a Zor actually does the end of the Avodah of the Levoina by putting those spoons, the Levoina of those spoons, onto the Mizbeach? He should be Chayev because it's the end of the line. The answer is, he is Chayev. You're going to ask me a question, why didn't Rav say it? He did. Rav said, Haktoris, that putting anything onto the Mizbeach. He didn't say only a Korban, he didn't say only the Emurim and the Fats, it includes the Bzichin. And the Levoino in the Bezichin is also included in that, and indeed, Rav mentioned it. Continues the Gemara. Zorosh Sideres HaMenorah. We're still talking about the Heichal. We're looking for an Avoida Tamo and an Avoidas Matono in the Heichal that Zor should be Chayev, and Rav didn't mention it. Says, yes, how did they used to clean the Menorah? They would remove the lamps at the top, clean them out, and then put the lamps back into the Menorah. So the person who was Masadir, who arranged and replaced those lamps every day after cleaning them onto the menorah. It was in the Heichal. It seems to be an Avoida Tamo. It's an Avoida not of Siluk. It's not like the Dishon taking away the ashes, which is an Avoida Siluk. It's after it's cleaned, you're replacing the lamps on top of the menorah. He should be Chayev. It's Matono. It seems to be Avoida Tamo. And he should be Chayev. Says the Gemara, no, because that's not the end of the Avoida. Ikenesinas Psilo. Because after you return those lamps, you actually have to insert the wicks. So therefore, rearranging and replacing the lamps in and of its own is not an avoido tamo. Says the Gemara, okay, nosan psilo lechayev. If a Zor puts the wicks into the lamps, he should be chayev. It's an avoido tamo. Says the Gemara, it's still not an avoido tamo. Ikenesinas shemen. After you put the wicks there, you have to put the oil there. Says the Gemara, Nosan Shemen Lechayev. If a Zor puts the oil in, he should be Chayev. It's Avoida Tamo. Why does Rav not mention it? Says the Gemara, because it's still not the end. Ika Hadloka. Because he's got to light the menorah. Hidlik Lechayev. You're going to ask, what's with the Zor actually lights the menorah? He should be Chayev. And if he's Chayev, and there's nothing after lighting the menorah, that's it. It's Avoida Tamo. And it's not an Avoida Siluk. So why does Rav not mention it? Says the Gemara, a very interesting and cryptic four words, Hadloka lav avoidahi. That the kindling of the menorah is insignificant. All you're doing is putting a match, or just putting a fire to a wick. That's not a significant enough type of avoida that if a Zor does it, he's going to be chayav misa. And then the Rishonim here all discuss, if Hadloka is not an avoida, then the end of the avoida is putting in the oil. He should be chayav. Or the Rishonim may discuss what's going on here. But either way, that's what the Gemara says. Anything before the Hadlaka is not Avoida Tamo. The final thing, what makes it Avoida Tamo, is an insignificant act which would not warrant a Chiyuv Misa. Says the Gemara, Veloi, and kindling is not significant enough that if a Zor does it, it should be Chayiv Misa. Votani, we learnt in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen eish ala mizbeach, that the Kohenim, with the sons of Aaron, the Kohanim, they would put fire on the Mizbeach, v'olchu eitzim aloesh, and they would arrange the woods on the fire. What do we learn from there? That if the fire on the Mizbeach, on the top of the Mizbeach, was dying down, and you had to rekindle it, what would they do? That they would take some aliso, some wooden chips, which were lying on the side, and put it onto the fireplace, and with that they would reignite the flame and the fire on top of the Mizbeach. And that's what you learn from this pasuk. V'nosnu b'nei Aaron ha-Kohen eish al ha-Mizbeach, that this should be done exclusively by the b'nei Aaron. So limeid that teaches us, al hatzosas elisa, the kindling of these chips, shaloi tehe elo b'koyhin kosher, it should only be done with a kosher koyhin, not with a balmum, ubekli shoris, when he's wearing his big day kuhuna. So you see that it's a significant, it's called an avoida, and it has to be done exclusively by a koyhin. So why are you saying that just lighting the menorah, kindling the menorah, is not considered a significant avoida? Here you see that kindling the mizbeach is considered significant and it has to be done by a kohen with the clay shoris. Says the Gemara, there's a fundamental difference between kindling the mizbeach and kindling the menorah. Hatzosas elisa avoidahi. Hadlaka lav avoidahi. There's a difference between kindling the mizbeach, that is very significant. However, lighting the menorah, which is not the mizbeach, is much less significant. Now, just for the sake of clarity, what have we had so far? We've had a discussion, and we've said that to be chayev misa, if a zor does an avoida, it has to be an avoida tamo, and it has to be an avoidas matono. And we said that that's machlokes Rav and Levi, whether that's even in the Azorah. And then the Gemara asked a number of questions, what's with in the Heichal, and we said that it would seem from Rava that in the Heichal, even if, at least if it's not Siluk, if it's Avoidas Matono, if it's an Avoidas Tamo, he'll be Chayiv, and we asked from Sidur HaShulchan and Sidur HaMenoira. And the way we resolved the Sidur HaMenoira is by saying that Hadlaka Lav Avoidahi, which means there's a third condition. Before being an Avoidas Tamo, and before being an Avoidas Matono, it has to be an Avoidas. Hadlok is not considered an avoida at all. And then the Gemara sort of digressed and said that from a brisa we see that arranging the and lighting the mizbeach is considered an avoida. And there's a fundamental difference between the two, because lighting the mizbeach, when at least in the morning when the mizbeach needed to be lit, then it's clear that lighting the mizbeach, it's not an avoida tamo at all. So we're not discussing there whether a zor who does it is chayiv misa. All we're discussing, is it an avoida, is it not? So how can you say that kindling the menorah is not an avoida? You see clearly from the fact that it needs to be done by a kohen and with his big day kahuna, you see that it's an avoida, lighting the mizbeach. So then how can you say that lighting the menorah is not considered an avoida? And the Gemara says there's a difference between them, that even though lighting the mizbeach is considered an avoida, lighting the menorah is not considered an avoida. And then the Rishonim ask, if lighting the menorah is not considered an avoida, why does a kohen have to do it? And why does it have to be done with the big day kohuna? And that's the Rishonim discuss that. But that was all in a very focused discussion. Is it called an avoida? Is it not called an avoida? And now the Gemara continues. Elo me'ato. And it seems that this question is both according to Rav and according to Levi. That everybody agrees that avoidas matono, which is an avoida tamo, is chayev, at least in the, definitely in the Azorah. The pasuk says lechol devar hamizbeach. So elo me'ato. Zor shesider hamarocha. If a zor, somebody who's not a kohen, arranges the fire on the mizbeach, lechayev, he should be chayev, because after that, what do you still have to do after arranging the marocha? It's navoida tamo. It's arranging, putting the woods there is a navoidas matono. It's a avoida tamo. So it should be chayel. So why does Rav say there's just four things, which we said before, was the zrikos, the aktoris, the nisuch hamayim, and the nisuch hayayin, you've got sidur hamarocha. Says the Gemara, it's not considered an avoida tamo. Ika sidur shnei gizreitzim, because after arranging the woods on the mizbeach, they would bring two logs of wood called the shnei gizreitzim, and that would follow the arranging of the mizbeach, and they have to put it on. So the arranging of the mizbeach in and of its own is not an avoida tamo. Says the Gemara, okay. So understand that a zor who does that won't be chayev. But if a zor is sidr shnei gzirin, if the zor places the two gizreitzim, he should be chayev. Lechayev, he should be chayev. Why doesn't Rav mention it? Says the Gemara, because after that, ikar sidr evorim. There's the arranging of the limbs onto the mizbeach, onto the fire. And those sidr evorim, that comes after the shnei gizreitzim. And you're going to ask me a question, if a zor does the sidur ha'ivorim, the arranging of the limbs, by the mizbeach, he should be chayev. The answer is chayev, and Rav mentions it. That's included, and when Rav says haktora, any haktoris, even the sidur of the ivorim. Says the Gemara of Ha'omer of Asi Omer Rabbi Yechanon, was it not said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon that Zorosh Sidr Shnei Gizre'etzim Chayev? Do we not see, does Rabbi Yechanon not say that if a Zor actually arranges the two Gizre'etzim, puts the two Gizre'etzim onto the fire, he's going to be Chayev? And that's clearly not like Rav, because Rav said there were four things, and Sidr Shnei Gizre'etzim was not one of them. But we assume that Rav is not arguing with Rabbi Yechanon, is it called an Avodah Tamo, is it not called an Avodah Tamo? We assume that Rav had a different reason for arguing with Rabbi Yechanon, but once we see that Rabbi Yechanon says that he's Chayev, so we say, we seems to be that Sidr Shnei Gizre'etzim is considered an Avodah Tamo, and a final Avodah, and Rav's not arguing with that, he's arguing on a different point, that we don't know what that would be. But so do we not see from Rabbi Yechanon that the Shnei Gizre'etzim is considered an Avodah Tamo, not like the Gemara answered before? Says the Gemara, no, that's exactly what Rav and Rabbi Yechanon were arguing about. They were not arguing about something different. They were arguing exactly in this point. And Rav, who did not mention the Shnei Gizre'etzim, is because Rav held it was not an Avodah Tamo. Beho pligi, Marasov Rabbi Yechanon holds Avodah Tamo hi, that putting the Shnei Gizre'etzim, that's the end of the Avodah of preparing the Mizbeach. The Sidur Ivorim are not a continuation of that. Marasov and Rav held Lav Avodah Tamo hi, it's not considered a finishing, a final, a completing Avodah, and therefore it's not mentioned. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Kavaseidu Rav, Tanya Kavaseidu Levi. We had a machlekas at the beginning on Chovdalad Omed Aleph whether Trumas Hadeshen is, if a Zor does it, is he Chayev Misa or not Chayev Misa? Rav said he's not Chayev Misa. Rav said four things, didn't mention a fifth. And Levi says no. He said the Zor is Chayev Misa even by the Siluk of the Trumas Hadeshen. And we're actually going to have a Brisa like both opinions. Tanya Kavaseidu Rav. We're going to find a Braisa that's more or less echoing the four things that Rav said. And Trumas Hadeshen is not mentioned there. Avoidus Shezor Chayev Aleh Misa. The following are Avoidus, which if a Zor does them is Chayev Misa. There's Rikas Hadam. Bein Lefonim, Bein Lifnim, Bein Lifnai Velifnim. And Rashi says this means throwing the blood onto the Mizbeach, on the outside Mizbeach, and the Lifonim is in the Mizbeach of the Mizbeach HaPnimi in the Heichal, and the Lifnai V'Lifnim is the blood that was done on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kedoshim. Anything to do with Zrikos Hadam are all included in Zrikos, as Rav mentioned, Zrikas Hadam and Azor is Chayev. And this includes Hamazeh B'Chatos Oif. One of the Avodos that were done by the Chatos Oif is sprinkling the blood of the Chatos, the bird Chatos, on the Mizbeach. V'Hamematzeh, and squeezing out for those korbonis that one had to do mitzui, v'hamaktir, or if somebody put onto the mizbeach, bo'ilas ha'oif, that all these things, putting the o'ilas ha'oif on the mizbeach is included in haktoris, all the others are included in the zrikois, v'hamanaseh shloisha lug in mayim, as we saw, if somebody pours the three lug of water, which came with the korban tamid, or shloishas lug im yayin, or the three lug of the wine, which Rav also mentioned, the Nisuch HaMayim and Nisuch HaYayin. So this is a Braisa that mentions four things, and they reflect Rav's opinion, and Trumas Hadeshen is not mentioned there. Tanya Kavaseidu Levi. Where do we have a Braisa like Levi that seems to say that Trumas Hadeshen will be Chayev if a Zor does it? Avoidu is Shezor Chayev Aleh Misa HaMeirim Es Hadeshen. He says explicitly that somebody who separates the Deshen, the ashes from the Mizbeach, if a Zor does it, he's Chayev. V'sheva hazois shebefnim v'sheva metzeira, and those hazois that were done in the Heichal, they also, if a Zor does them, is Chayev Misa. V'amale al gabe mizbeach, bein dover kosher, bein dover posel, putting, and this is included in Haktoris, putting anything on the Mizbeach, either something that's allowed to go on the Mizbeach, or something that's not allowed to go on the Mizbeach, but a type of psul, that im olu lo yorad, those type of things that you put onto the Mizbeach, and when you put them on, you do not take them back off, then that's considered a haktorah, and if a Zor does them, he'll be chayev. So in this braisa, we see that explicitly that Trumas Hadeshen, if a Zor does it, is chayev misa, which is proof to Levi. Continues the Gemara. Lomo mefaisin. We're going back to the pious, to the lots that were made in the Azora, and in the meantime, we're busy with the first pious, where they were deciding who was going to do the Trumas Hadeshen. So the Gemara asks, Lama mafaisin, why do you do a pius? Asks the Gemara, Lama mafaisin, you're asking why? Kut omron, like the Mishnah says, in order to make sure that there should be no arguing, no pushing, everybody should know who should do the avoida. Says the Gemara, no, that wasn't the question. Lama mafaisin v'choizrin umafaisin. Why did they do the four piusin that we're going to learn about? We saw the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, the last words of the Mishnah was, arbo payosis hoyusham. There was four different times in the day that they would collect, they would gather in the Lishkas Hagozes, we'll learn about that soon, and they would do the pious. Why didn't they just do them once? Once in the morning, do four payoses, and that's it. Why were they spread out over the whole day? Omer Bi'ichnon said, "Kedei l'hargish kol azora," because we want to stir an excitement in the Azora, that all the Kohanim are getting together. They're going into the Lishkas Hagozes, into the part that has the Halacha of Kodesh. We'll soon learn about that. And we want the Azorah to get all excited. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, and this is a great honor for Hashem, Asher Yachtov, together, Namtik Soid, will take a sweet counsel, Reveis Elohim in Hashem's house, Nahalech Barogesh. We're going to walk with excitement. So you see, there's an inyan that there should be excitement in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, in order there should be an excitement, they would do the pious at four different times in the day. Continues the Gemara. B'meh mefaisin, which clothes did the Kohanim who did the pious, and let's assume we're talking about the first pious. Early in the morning, they were doing a pious. Who's going to do the Trumas Hadeshen? Whoever's going to do the Trumas Hadeshen is certainly going to have to wear the Big Day Kahuna to do the Trumas Hadeshen. But did they wear the Big Day Kahuna before doing the lot, before doing the pious? Did all, let's say there were 50 Kohanim who wanted to do the Trumas Hadeshen, only one would do it. Did all 50 change from their regular clothes to the Big Day Kahuna, do the pious? The lucky one who won would do the Trumas Hadeshen, and all the rest would take off the Big Day Kahuna. They didn't win the lottery. So that's the question. And so Machlekes HaMeroim, Rav Nachman Omar b'Big Day Chol, Rav Nachman says that they did the lottery in Big Day Chol. The lottery in and of its own is not an avoda. You don't need to wear Big Day Kahuna. Rav Sheshes says no, b'Big Day Kodesh. Even though of course Rav Sheshes agrees that doing the lots, doing the pious is not an avoda, but he says nonetheless, we'll soon see why, make sure that any Kohen who's joining this pious, make sure that they're wearing the Big Day Kodesh. Rav Nachman Omar b'Big Day Chol. Why did Rav Nachman insist that they would not wear the Big Day Kodesh? Di Omrus Big Day Kodesh, if you're going to say they're all going to be wearing their Big Day Kodesh, Ika Baliz Rois, you'll have those ruffians, those bullies, those ruffians, the Chamsi V'Ovda, that they're going to force their way to do the Avoida. Everybody's getting changed into Big Day Kahuna. They're not going to wait for the pious, or they will just disregard the outcome of the pious, and they'll just go into the Trumas Hadeshen. He's wearing the four clothes anyway. And therefore we say, no. Nobody puts on any Big Day Kahuna. We'll do the pious, and the one that wins will put on the Big Day Kahuna, and he'll do it, leaving no space for the other people to quickly run and do the Avoida. Rav Sheshes argued and said, "B'Big Day Kodesh, we want everybody to be wearing the Big Day Kodesh, the Omer's Big Day Chol, because if everybody will be wearing their regular clothes, Agav Chavivuse, it could be that there'll be a Kohen, the Kohen who will win the lottery will be so passionate and so excited to do the Trumas Hadeshen, that Mikrav Avda accidentally is going to go and run up to do the Trumas Hadeshen, he just won the lottery, he's not going to remember that he has to first change into Big Day Kahuna. And therefore, Rav Sheshes says, be safe, everybody should wear the Big Day Kahuna, and the one who wins can then immediately go and do the Trumas Hadeshen. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rav Nachman, Minoa Minela. What would be my source, says Rav Nachman, that they would do the pious with Big Day Chol? Did none, because we learnt in a Mishnah, in Maseches Tomid, that Mosrun Lechazonim, after they did the pious, then all the Kohen who won would be handed over to the Chazonim, to the attendants. And the attendants, they would help the Kohen to remove all the clothes he was wearing. And they would only leave on him his trousers. Because obviously it would be immodest that the Kohen should be totally stripped. So they would leave the trousers on him. And this is quite cryptic. We have to understand, what does this mean? I mean, he's got to change and take off the trousers of the weekday trousers and put on the Kodesh trousers. But we know he was also wearing a tunic. He was wearing clothes that would have covered himself had he taken off his trousers. The question is, what's going on here? That this that this Kohen who had won the lottery, that they would take off all his clothes and they would only leave on him the michnasayim. What's going on? So the Gemara is explaining, my love, can we not take it for granted that ba'oison shezachu lepayis? We're talking about the one, as I explained, we're talking about the one that had won the pious. And what was he doing? This is Rav Nachman bringing proof. So the only way to understand this Mishnah so far is that everybody was wearing their weekday clothes. The one person that won the pious, they would take off all their weekday clothes and they would leave on their weekday, the regular trousers. They would wear all the other big day kohuna, and now that they're totally covered over with the tunic, with the rest of their bodies are now wearing the big day kohuna, now they could take off from underneath, and there's no issue of modesty here because he's totally covered over. He'll take off the michnasayim, he'll slip them off from underneath the weekday michnasayim, put on the kodesh michnasayim, and now he'll have all the four big day kohuna on. That's how Rav Nachman understood this Mishnah. However, Omer of Huna bar Yehuda, Omer of Sheshes, it was said in the name of Rav Sheshes, no. This very Mishnah is not talking about helping the person who won the pious take off the weekday clothes and put the regular clothes and put on his big day kuhuna. Ba'oison sheloi zachu lepayis is talking about for those who did not win the pious. And this is Rav Sheshes talking, which means that all the people there were wearing big day kohuna. That's what Rav Sheshes himself said. Rav Sheshes says, "We're big day kodesh." All the kohanim were wearing the big day kodesh, and now all those that didn't win the pious, they have to remove their big day kodesh. So what did they do? They removed all the clothes besides for the michnasayim. They put on the big day choil, and after they were wearing the big day choil, they would remove the michnasayim of kodesh and put on the michnasayim of choil. That's how Rav Sheshes was going to understand that Mishnah. And Hochinami Mistabra, he's going to bring proof to that, in that he's going to even say that it's almost impossible to learn that Mishnah like Rav Nachman did. Because how did Rav Nachman learn the Mishnah? Rav Nachman learned it was talking about the person that won the pious. And Rav Nachman holds that they were wearing Big Day Choil. So according to Rav Nachman, how is he reading the Mishnah? That they would remove all the Big Day Choil besides for the Michnasayim. They would put on the Big Day Kodesh, obviously besides for the Michnasayim. And then, after all that was done, they would remove the Michnasayim of Choil and put on the Michnasayim of Kodesh. That's how Rav Nachman learnt the Mishnah, which would mean that the last clothes of the Big Day Kodesh that this Kohen was going to put on was the Michnasayim. And we have an issue with that, because we know that the Michnasayim is not the last clothes that's put on, it's got to be the first one that's put on. According to Rav Nachman, that they were wearing the big day choil, and the Mishnah is talking about helping this one person who won the pious, and that's if it's the first pious, it's that one who won it, and later on we'll see that there's some piouses with a number of winners, but if it's helping them put on the big day kuna, then the Mishnah would mean that you leave the michnasayim of choil on him, until he's put on the other big day kohuna. Votani we learned in a braisa. So we mentioned this already on Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Minayin shelo yehidova koydim lemichnasayim. That how do we know that the first of the big day kohuna that have to be put on has to be the michnasayim? Talmud leima. We learn this out from the pasuk. The pasuk says uvichnas umichnasay bad yiyu al basari. That the first of the big day kohuna that have to go onto his flesh, onto his body, has to be the michnasayim. So how can you, Rav Nachman, understand this Mishnah? Asks the Gemara, Ve'idach, indeed, how's Rav Nachman understanding this Mishnah? If Rav Nachman says that they were all wearing Big Day Choil, and this Mishnah is telling us how they're going to switch from Big Day Choil to Big Day Kodesh, indeed, how can you say, Lo'yhoyu manichan aleim elo michnasayim belvad? It's contrary to that braisa. Answers the Gemara, Ho lo'y kosher. Rav Nachman's got an answer. Hochik toni, this is how you have to understand the Mishnah. Ad she'oidon aleim Big Day Choil, malbishin oison michnasay kodesh. It means that there's a stage which the Mishnah left out. That means with this winner, the one who we are now going to change from Big Day Choil to Big Day Kodesh, first and foremost, he removes the Michnasayim of Choil. He's otherwise covered with the other garments. He removes the Michnasayim of Kodesh and puts on the Michnasayim of Kodesh. And that's even before he puts on anything of Choil. And then, after he's wearing Michnasayim of Kodesh, then they would help him remove all his other clothes, which ones? The big day choil. And all they would leave on him is elo michnasayim bilvad. They would leave the michnasayim because he's wearing michnasayim of kodesh. You don't remove those. He's about to do the Trumas Adeshen. You leave on the michnasayim you put on first, and then you put on the other big day kohuna, and that's how Rav Nachman would understand this Mishnah. Omer of Sheshes. Now, so Sheshes is turned to find a proof that, to his opinion, that they would wear, that the, whilst doing the pious, they would wear big day kodesh. Omer of Sheshes, Minoa Minelo. The Tanya, I've got another brisa, Tosefta. What does it say in the Tosefta? Lishkas Hagozis. This Lishka, which was in the Mizrach Tzofin of the Azara, there was a chamber there called Agozis. It was hewn out of stone. Lishkas Agozis, Kamin Basilki Gedoloi. So it was a very tall building. And what would be in there? Pious B'Mizracha. On the Mizrach side of that Lishkas Agozis, they would do the pious. V'zokin Yeshiv B'Marova. And on the Ma'ariv side of the Lishkas Agozis, an elder would sit there and he would teach them and make sure he would direct the pious. V'Kohanim Mukofin V'Oimdim. And the Kohanim, they would stand in a circle, kamin b'chulyor, like a circular ornament called a kulyor, they would stand in a circle. V'amemuna ba, and the person who's arranging this, who's doing the pious, would come, v'noitl mitznefes miroishi shel echod mehem, he would remove the hat from one of the Kohanim, v'yoidim, and then they would know that shememenu pious maschil, from there the pious was starting, he would say a number, and then they would put up their fingers, and they would go round until the number falls on the person who's the winning, the person who won the lottery. That's what it says in the Tosefta. Says the Gemara, says of Sheshes, v'yisal kedaitoch b'big day choyl. If you're going to say that the Kohanim were wearing the big day choyl, the regular garments, whilst doing the pious, mitznefes b'big day kuhuna, b'big day choyl mi'ika, you said that they would remove the mitznefes, the hat. The hat is one of the big day kuhuna. And that they would remove it from the kohen that they were starting to do the pious from. Well, if he's not wearing big day kodesh, where's the mitznefes coming from? Says the Gemara, that's not a proof. And this is, Rav Nachman would refute this and say no. In, there is a concept of a mitznefes, even though they're wearing big day choyl. What would that be? Kedatonu of Yehuda v'yitemir of Shmuel bar Yehuda. Kohen she'osu le'imoy k'soynes. Normally we know that the big day kohen have to come from the tzibur, they have to belong to the tzibur. However, a mother of a kohen who wanted to show her pride, wanted to show her abilities in making big day kohen, and whatever she wanted to express, she was allowed to make for her son the kohen, the ksoines, the tunic. An ovid b'avoidas yochid, even though he's not allowed to do a type of avoida which is avoidas tzibur, like the korban tomid and other avoidas, but avoidas yochid, he was allowed to do with it. Now, even though these begodim, which the what we just mentioned now, is the ksoines, the tunic, and we're saying that the same would apply with the hat, was allowed to be, it had to be donated to the Beis HaMikdash, in which case it did have the status of Big Day Kodesh. However, these Big Day Kodesh, Rav Nachman was okay with. What did Rav Nachman say before? Rav Nachman says they would have to wear Big Day Choyl. Why would they have to wear Big Day Choyl? Because we're afraid if they're wearing Big Day Kodesh, then the Balis Royis, the ruffians, will quickly come and do the Avodah, even though they have not won the lottery. But that's only true if they would be wearing the regular Big Day Kodesh, which allowed them to do even Avodas Tzibur. Because that's what we're, the pious was for the Trumas Hadeshen. It's an Avodas Tzibur. The Korban Tomid is Avodas Tzibur. However, so Rav Nachman agrees that those Begodim, those Big Day Kodesh, that were only allowed to be used for Avodas Yochid, they were allowed to use those, they were allowed to wear those whilst doing the pious. So this Tosefta that we just saw now, that they would do the pious, they would remove the mitznefes is a term used for one of the Big Day Kohuna, yes, because it was common that Kohanim had Big Day Kohuna, which included a mitznefes, even though they were not avoid, they could not be used for avoidas rabim, they could only be used for avoidas yochid, not for avoidas tzibur, and therefore the kohen was wearing that, and therefore that's how Rav Nachman is going to explain this to Yisefta. Continues the Gemara, Omar Abaye, Shema Mino. From this brisa, this Tosefta we just learned now, we learned that the Tosefta told us that they would go into the Lishkas Hagozis, and the Lishkas Hagozis, on the Mizrach side, they would do the pious, and on the Ma'ariv side, there would be an elder that was sitting there, they would be standing in a circle, etc. From all that Tosefta, what do we see? Two things. Number one, Nishkas Agoz is Chetzio B'Kodesh V'Chetzio B'Chol. We know it must be that half of the Azara, half of the Nishkas Agoz, is Kodesh. The Dorim side of the Lishkas Agoz is Kodesh, and which is has that status Nalochas of the Azara. And then there's the side towards the Tzofin, which is where the wall of the Azara is, and or beyond it, and that part of the Lishkas Agoz is considered Chol, does not have the status of Azara. Ushma mina, what else do we see from there? That Shnei Psachim Hoyula, there were two entrances into the Lishkas Agozis. Echot Pasuach Bekoidesh, Vechot Pasuach Bechoil. There were two ways of getting into the Lishkas Agozis, one from the side that was Kodesh, and one from the side that was Choil. And now we're going to explain where we learn these two things from that Tosefta. The Yisol Kedaitoch, if you're going to say Kuloi Bekoidesh, this is now addressing the first point that Abaya said, that the Lishkas Agozis must have been half Kodesh, half Chol. Because if it was completely Kodesh, then how can you say Zoken Yoshev B'Marova, that on the Ma'ariv side of the Lishkas Agozis, the elder was sitting there, V'Omar Mar, did we not learn, we're going to learn about this later, Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azora, you're not allowed to sit in the Azora, Elol Malchus Beis David Bilvad, only for the descendants of the dynasty of David, for the Malchus, only for the kings of the dynasty of David, Amelech. So how could this elder be sitting in the Azara, in the Lishkas Agozis? So it must be that part of the Lishkas Agozis definitely was Chol. V'yisal kudai tach kula b'chol. Are you going to say that the whole Lishkas Agozis was Chol? Pious b'mizracha? We said that on the Mizrach side of the Lishkas Agozis, that's where they did the pious. And what did we say before? Why did they do the pious four times a day? Because b'veis Elokim nahalech b'rogesh, in Hashem's home, we want excitement. Beis Elokim is referring to the Azora. V'leka, if it's all choil, then you're not doing the pious in a place of Beis Elokim. Elosh ma'amino, it must be chetzi b'kodesh v'chetzi b'choil. Part of it was kodesh and part of it was choil. That's regarding the first halacha of Abaya. V'yisal k'day toch Pesach echod yesh lo, are you going to say that maybe there was only one entrance into the Lishkas Agozis, not two? Then if you're going to say Pasuach l'Kodesh, if you're going to say that the opening, the entrance into the Lishkas Agozis was in the Kodesh, was towards the Azora, Zokin Yeshiv v'Marova, how can this elder sit on the Ma'ariv side, on the western side of the Lishkas Agozis? Votnana, we said before he's sitting on the part of the Lishkas Agozis that was Chol, but that doesn't help. Votnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, that halishka is habnuya is bechol, even those chambers that are built in the chol side, upsucha is lekodesh, but if their openings are to in the azora, toichon kodesh, the inside of those chambers have the status of kodesh. How can the elder sit there? V'yisol kedaitach basuach lechol, are you going to suggest that the entrance was in the chol part? Then pious b'mizrach, how can you say that they did the pious in the Mizrach, if the only entrance that was into the Lishkas Agozis was into the Chol? Votnan, we learnt in the Mishnah, Bnuya is b'Kodesh, even those chambers that are built in the Kodesh, in the Azora, Upsucha is the Chol, but the only entrance into them is Chol, is outside the Azora, Toichon Chol, the inside is considered Chol, not Kodesh. And again, we have the issue, if so, it's not B'Veis Elokim Lahalech Barogesh. So it must be Elolav Shema Minor Shnei Psochim Hoyula. It must be there were two halves and two entrances. Echot pasuach b'kodesh, there was one side that was open to the kodesh, and that's where they did the pious, and that was b'veis Elokim Nalech Barogesh. Echot pasuach l'chol, the other side was open to the chol, and that's where the elder would be able to sit on that side, and that's how Abaya explained what he'd learned. And Emir Tzashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue from here.